Okay. Did it tell you that we're recording? Did it do the weird like robot voice?
I just saw a little robot right now, top left.
Oh man.
You got a fancy setup there.
Oh man, it looks fancy, right? This is like $30 off Amazon.
Do you track with that?
For like stories?
Yeah.
I got it after we'd done all our stories, I think. Except for maybe.
Oh, you got it after?
Oh. Yeah.
You just guessed too.
Yeah, there you go. Well, it's also ghetto though. Like, it's nicer than like
just any audio. It's better than your phone.
Right, exactly. So like that's why I have it, but it's not like Chris has like some really nice setup. So this just makes it look fancier than it is. It's really just like a ghetto mic. But Eric Price, you made it. You asked on.
I made it.
You were like,
I made it. Sorry, I'm so sketchy. It's kind of final stuff and working at KSL. So,
oh, don't even apologize. how is that? So you're not graduated? You're kind of graduated? Like, what are we?
We're almost graduated. We still have a whole finals week to go next week.
Oh, baby.
And it's killing me.
How many finals you got?
I have all projects. 3 projects.
Ooh.
Yeah. So we have 2 classes down, 2 to go, and I want to be done. I have no motivation. It took me 6 hours to write a page and a half the other day. So that's where we're at.
Jeez. What classes do you have left?
It's just their ITLS classes. So I have this, it's really easy. Actually, this one class, it's a video editing class 1. I took it just because it's easy credit.
Right.
It's, and so actually that one won't be bad. I'll just make like a little video. And then my other class is like HTML, CSS. It's basic HTML, CSS, but it's still kind of tricky.
Is that, so I have no idea what anything you just said.
Like you have to code. It's like coding, like websites and stuff.
Oh, this is computer science.
So yeah, kind of. It's like basic computer science. So like, I made like a little resume I coded and stuff, but now I have to make a whole final project, and I'm way behind because Newscast just, I did not focus on any other class but that.
Right.
And so all these classes are hitting me in the face. So we're stressed.
We're stressed, but we got it. I believe in you.
We got it. And you know, I got a job in Tennessee, so I got to find a place to live still.
And,
I got to sell my contract, and I have to figure out how I'm going to get out there. So,
are you going to be working at KSL right up until you leave, or what's
probably like a week or two before? Yeah, I probably give myself a week to like pack and stuff. I want to get there at least a week before I start.
Yeah. So you're working assignment desk at ABC?
No. I work assignment desk now here at KSL.
KSL, but you're going to ABC.
I'm going to ABC to do MMJ.
Okay, so I had them backwards. Okay, what, like, I know what it is, but for somebody who had no idea what assignment desk is, what is?
So assignment desk is basically like the news desk. We're the ones who find all the news to put on TV, so anything breaking, we find that. We listen to police scanners. We send out press releases. We are the ones who send the people to the scene of the breaking stuff. Like tonight, there was crazy busy. There was a shooting in Murray. There was a 5-person accident, 2 dead and 3 injured. There's a rollover and a car fire on the same instance. What else happened? USU canceled their game. The players are boycotting because of what?
That is nuts.
What President Cockett supposedly had said. So that's tea.
Okay, so
I see.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there. I don't know what insight you have into that, but I was actually just looking at this story. I actually pulled up, but like, what happened there? So like, is it, from what I understand, Noel Cockett was in a meeting with the leadership of the football team.
Mm-hmm.
The what's it called, athletic director, and then obviously President Cockett.
Yeah.
And then apparently, so from what I'm kind of reading between the lines of the quotes, because no one says exactly what she said, but it seems like it was because he was a member of the church and also his Polynesian background. Is that?
Yeah, that's vaguely kind of what happened. So we don't have exact quotes from her because the meeting was not recorded actually. And so this is what happened. So they were on a call, the football team, the president, and I think it was somebody else. And she had made some comments about picking their coach. I believe she had said some statements about him being LDS and Polynesian. More specifically LDS. I don't know whether it was good or bad connotation, but the players felt uncomfortable with it. And so after the meeting, they got together in a players only meeting without the staff knowing and had decided that they weren't going, they all agreed they weren't going to play a game based on her comments. And they said, this does not affect who the future coach will be, if it is going to be Blake Anderson or not. Right. This is nothing against him. It's more of just of what she said. So because they believe they're a multi-faith group and, you know, they're all accepting of all faiths. And so they didn't agree with that. And so there's something that she said, we don't know, is that they didn't agree with. So that's all we know. That was kind of in the USU statement we've got. That's all we got. So,
yeah, because that's kind of interesting. Because the players released a statement as well. And it's just kind of interesting. You know, Utah, a very Church of Jesus Christ dominated state. And so I think it's interesting. I think she was trying to maintain, like, you know, a diverse cultural background with the new head coach, but by, you know, by dismissing, you know, the commonality of Utah, I think that's
I think, I don't know what her intentions are. And
yeah,
I mean, we don't know her, but I don't think she probably meant a lot of harm, but it may be,
it
might've been read the wrong way, you know, and that happens sometimes. I feel like she might have been trying to include maybe more diversity, religious diversity. Who knows? We'll see if she comes out with a statement or not. We don't know. So I think it's very interesting, though. USU football in general has had a rough season.
Yeah, not just rough, but like dramatic. You know, because like some seasons are like bad, where it's like, oh, like everything didn't go right. We lost a bunch of games. But like this season has been like players
drama
out, like
players
being cut. Players like
team has been, the coach has been rearranged,
entering
like,
transfer
crazy
pool. Gary Anderson, it doesn't feel like Gary Anderson leaves very gracefully from any of his jobs. It was like,
what did he do?
Because he went from Wisconsin and he like left Wisconsin and then talked trash about Wisconsin, and then he left Oregon State and then talked trash about Oregon State.
See, that's on him. What is he doing? He can't go back. He's got to get another job. And like he thought he was just coming to USU and just do his little thing, huh? They said nope.
This is a little thing, not winning games, because he's really good at that.
That's what's going on.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts. That's super crazy. Yeah, so
it's crazy.
So Simon Desk is, you take all those stories and do you divvy them out to reporters?
We basically, so it depends. So a lot of those stories, we get breaking and other stories, and we get news tips as well. So the important things that we kind of filter down to what we think is relevant, and we send that out to the whole newsroom. And then from there, they will pick it up. So like with KSL is a little different than normal newsrooms. We are connected with radio and Deseret News and KSL.com as well as TV. So we're all one big thing, but separate companies. And so I work for all of them, including TV. So when I send out a news press release or something breaking, it goes out to everybody and they cover it. And then like later I'll work with a TV producer to see what she wants and who she wants on it. And it just depends on the incident. Like if it's breaking and it's not very like super detailed story, but it's like a shooting, you know, I'll send a photographer out there to get the basic information and get the visual, because you want to see that.
Yeah.
But if it's like an issue or something going like that, or something more in depth, we'll have a reporter on it. So it just depends.
Interesting. How many, so you have a couple photogs and a couple reporters?
Yeah, so it just depends on your shift. Usually in the weekdays you have more, like, so today I had about two photog floaters, and then there was about like from day to night crew, there's about eight teams of photogs and reporters together.
Oh, dang.
And working on different stories. But that's for different shows, like 5, 6, the 10, and the noon, you know, in the morning show. So it's spread throughout the day, but there's just various different stories. And so right now, you know, a lot of them are COVID related, but we still get some here and there that mix it up. But it's fun. It's very fast paced, and you have to be quick thinking on your feet. I've definitely learned how to do that. It can be stressful, but it's a fun job.
Yeah, it seems fun. It's super cool. And then if you sign the papers, you're official. You're going to Tennessee, right?
I have officially signed the papers as of last month. Yeah, Brian Champagne, our professor, news professor, was there on Zoom because he had COVID. You know, he watched me sign it. We took pictures. It's a whole official thing. So yeah, that's it. We're going. I took a drug test, and I'm pretty sure I'm clear. So. I mean, I haven't been doing any drugs, but just they haven't got back to me. So
no, for sure. So Chattanooga, what was it like? Take me through the process of kind of getting a job as a reporter, because like that process, I think, like people think of hiring processes, it's not quite the same, right?
Like, yeah, so, and And I think it differs between what field you're in and what major you're going to in. Because some people, when they graduate, they have a hard time looking for a job. And it could be months, or some people get a job right away. And so the process with me, it was like, and so what I kind of did is like with news, if you want to be on camera or reporter or something like that, you need to put up a reel on YouTube of your best work. And so I have a reel of all my stand-ups, which is basically me reporting on camera and like my best stories. And that's all in like a compilation. And so you put that out. And at the time I put it out, I think end of October, mid October. At that time, I think it was like right when I put it out, it was right when news directors were looking for staff. It was like the perfect time I put it out. And so literally I uploaded it like one night, and then the next morning I woke up to like 5 hits. It was crazy. And
like, hits being like people asking
people, news directors and like recruiters were like, hey, we like your stuff. Like, let's talk. Like, or what are you doing? What's your school situation? Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, wow. Like, this is, it kind of hit me. I was like, oh, crap. Like, they're like, they want to see what I have. Like, they like my stuff, which is pretty exciting. So, you know, I kind of narrowed it down after talking to a few. And this lady, she's an anchor slash manager at Chattanooga. She kind of was like, hey, I really like your stuff. Let's talk. And so she kind of drew my interest the most out of all of them. They all kind of dwindled down, but the vibe was like very good with her. And we just kind of had an initial talk. And then I think she went back to her supervisors and stuff like that. And then we had a formal interview with her and the news director on the phone. And it really wasn't that bad. Like, I feel like people think like your first job out of college, it's like super scary interview, you know, right. It wasn't that bad. Whereas actually I did have a scary interview with guys in South Carolina. I didn't want to do that, but that's another story. But yeah, so we kind of had an interview, and then they got back to me and they kind of gave me a what if statement, because I think they're waiting on the vice president's approval if they wanted to hire me. And so at that point I wasn't sure, because I was between there and Columbia, South Carolina. And that was actually a little bit higher market. So for those who don't know how markets work in the news business, there's 210 markets. The higher you go, the more money you make. New York is one, LA is two, so-and-so.
Yeah.
And so Chattanooga is 92, and then Columbia is 74. I was like, oh, I could go to Columbia and make more money, you know? But when I had that interview, I had bad vibes. He called me on FaceTime when I was like ratchet looking, you know, and he's asking me these intense questions. And I was like, no. So we went in Chattanooga, and they had a good deal, and they like offer good pay, and they have good health benefits. And yeah, like, it's a 2-year contract, and I can get out in one within the same company and move higher if I do well. So it worked out. And yeah, and it's warmer down there. You know, I'm from Vegas, so I don't like the cold. So it just kind of all fell into place. That's how it happened. So it's pretty lucky. Most college grads don't get an experience like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely different it's, you know, different per field, and, you know, like, like news is such a bizarre field in that sense, but that's super cool. I mean, like, super stoked for you. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah. And I'm way excited.
So you're from Vegas. You mentioned this.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Did you grow up there your whole life? Like, every part of Vegas?
I was born and raised in Las Vegas. I'm technically from Henderson, which is a suburb of Las Vegas. It's like the southeast part of Vegas, but it's still Vegas. It's kind of like Salt Lake and South Salt Lake, like that. So yeah, I was born and raised there. So
how the heck did you get here? How did you go from Vegas?
Did I get here? That's a long story. Let's see. Let's condense it. I graduated high school, and I actually had a lot of LDS friends, and I converted to the church when I was like 17. And so me and my best friend, we were like buddies, like hung out 24/7. We had all the same friends. And like, he was like, hey, you should come up to Utah State with me, because I didn't know where I was going to go. And like, UNLV is actually kind of expensive.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? Why not? Like, let's just go for it. So Connie was like, on a whim, I came to USU. We like roomed together, and then he actually transferred to BYU, and I stayed here. Yeah. He was like, hey, you want to kind of be with me? And he was like begging me. I was like, no, dude, I'm not going there. Like, I'm not doing that. So I kind of stayed here at UC, and that's kind of how I ended up here. It was kind of super random, but it kind of worked out. Like, I got the major I wanted, and I met a lot of cool people. So yeah, a lot of people ask me that, because I'm, you know, not to be stereotypical or anything, but about kind of being African-American, you know, American, there's not a lot of us out here. So yeah. A lot of people like to ask it, but people just ask me in general just to ask me. But a lot of people are like, oh, how did you get out here? Yeah, they're like, how did you get out here? I'm like, well, this is what happened, you know? So that's the short story of it.
Right. And so did you always think like journalism, or were you always like dead set on that? Like, you got
to
jump right in, or?
Yeah, no, at first, when I first started, I wanted to do, I think it was psychology. Like I was taking prereqs for that or something like that. And I was like, oh, I think that's so fun. And then I was like, no, I don't want to do this. I want to do dietetics because I wanted to be like all into health stuff and like that. And I never declared these two, but like I was like really wanted to do it. And then I think I saw like what I had to take for dietetics and nutrition. It was like crazy chemistry. I was like, girl, me and chemistry don't get along. And I was like, nah, I'm not gonna do that. So this is what I did. I went to business administration and I started taking those classes. And so I was like, I'll just do like whatever some, you know, when you don't know what to do, business is the way. No shame on the business school, but I mean, some of them really like it, but I know a lot of people who do go that way. And so I kind of went through business and then I had a talk with my advisor and I was just like, I don't really like it. And I wasn't doing well in the classes. Like, and I had to take accounting next. And I was like, math was not my thing.
Accounting is the worst.
Yeah, I didn't take it. I was like, I can't even do these simple math classes. Like, I can do some math, but it wasn't me for me. And she's like, I think you should switch majors. And like, I really didn't want to because it was going to add more time to school. And looking at the classes coming up, I was like, you know what? I don't think I'm going to be able to do that. So I kind of took like a career test actually and then randomly landed on journalism. I was like, oh, interesting. And like kind of like a personality test except for career. It literally was like, for your statistics, it was like a bar graph, like too exact. Like about me, it was like journalism. And I was like, oh, okay, well, we'll try it. You know, I never had any interest at all to go into news at all.
Right.
So, you know, I started taking the prereqs and stuff like that. And like, it was cool. I really liked Media Smarts with Candy. Did you take it with Candy? Who did you take it with?
I took it with Meredith.
Oh, you're lucky. You're lucky. Candy's actually amazing. She's been on sabbatical, but like she was super hard. But I've honestly like that. I've never learned anything more than it was in that class.
Interesting.
And then Brian Champagne's class. Like she was super good teacher. But
anyways, actually, I'm kind of jealous because so my experience was kind of weird. But tell me, like, what did you take away from that class?
It was just like, it just opened my eyes. Like she just taught us to kind of like see, like not narrowly open your eyes to everything. Like I kind of learned like news bias and awareness. Like before I didn't know how to decipher the things, you know, like at first I would see the news on social media and online. I believe the first thing I see, I was like, wow, I can't believe that happened.
First
she
headline.
She really taught me like how to just like, my media literacy like is so important. They need to be teaching in school. It's like what I need to be looking for and how I need to fact check things and my bias and how to recognize bias and how to talk to people who disagree with me, you know, where it's like, it's not, you don't clash heads, you know, you kind of like work things through and see what you do have in common. It was just a lot of stuff we learned. And like the class was pretty hard. It was like a lot of it was mostly group projects. So we had to work with people you hated. It was the most dramatic class, like so much drama. Like I made honestly mortal enemies. Like she told us at the beginning of the class, like you're either gonna be mortal enemies with some people in the class, or you're gonna be best friends. So we had two giant groups projects on one half of the semester, second half of the semester. And the first half I made mortal enemies with those group members because they didn't do the work. And me and my classmate Tanner did all the work at the end and we barely passed. She gave us a retake. Yeah, she gave us a retake and she sent an email out. She said, you guys better thank Eric and Tanner for all your hard work. And then they walked into the class the next day, didn't even look at us. So, and then, yeah, second half semester, I had a group with, I don't know if you know Leigh Mobley. Mm. Her, Tanner, and this girl named Miranda, we were like all best friends after that. So it was like a vice versa kind of thing. So I kind of got both sides and the end of the spectrum. But yeah, so that class I learned a lot. But where was I going with this?
So then you took, then you had champagne for.
Oh yeah, then I had you know, intro to video, and then that writing class with champagne, which I was terrible at. Writing is not my thing, but it has to become my thing now. Yep. But yeah, then I had newscast, and so I decided on broadcast. I think in Media Smarts, I was like, okay, I'm gonna do broadcast, and eventually, initially, I wanted it to be like a broadcast news analyst. I didn't even know what it was. I just knew it made money. And like, that was my main goal. It was just money. I want the dollar signs. That's it. Hey. And so I got to Brian. I'm like, Brian, I want to be a broadcast news analyst. How do I get to do that? He was like, what's that? Sounds boring. And I was like, oh. And so then like, I remember I took a tour of like the newsroom and like what they did. I was like, oh, like this kind of broadcast stuff, like being on camera or whatever you need to, reporter and stuff like that, seems way more fun. It's like, you know what? I was like, I wasn't super passionate about it. I was like, you know what? Let's go with it, because I had decided on 4 other different majors. So I kind of had to go with one. Yeah, so I could graduate. And so, you know what? I got into newscast and I actually really liked it. And then I found, I was like, oh, I'm like actually good at it. Like, yeah. It kind of surprised me. Like, I love doing stand-ups and stuff like that. And then since then, it kind of just took off and we're here now. So,
yeah, it's fun. I think people think of video production and they just think on camera, on screen, and all the things that go into that. But fun, like how there's so many different things to be good at in video production. And it's like there's so many career opportunities through video that.
So many.
It's just really cool. And newscast prepares you great for all of those.
It prepares you for news and like video production in general.
Yeah.
Like there's so many behind the camera jobs that you can get and that are very difficult. Like people don't realize how much work it is. To produce something, you know, write something, go shoot, edit, you know, just the whole process is really hard.
Oh yeah. Are you excited to do that once a day? I mean, shoot, or I guess I'm way more than once a day, right?
Terrified to do by myself once a day as an M&J, which would be, so it'll be like multiple stories. I'll do the same topic, but like, I think it might be doing one or two packages, like one regular one and one short package, which is not bad, but it's still a lot when I'm doing it all by myself.
So you take, is it like for morning and night show? Like you have a morning short package and night big package?
So it's basically, so say they said I'm most likely be like 9:30 to 6:30. So they have a 5:30 and a 6 show. And so for the 5, they want like a full package of my story. And then for the 6, they kind of want a different angle and maybe a little bit shorter. And so I'll have to turn out those two. And they said sometimes at 5:30, they might want a little mini story, but that's not often. So like in the news business, that's pretty normal. But when you have a photographer and a reporter, it's easier to do.
Right.
By yourself, it's very hard. So
yeah, so that's what MMJ means. MMJ means that you're
one man band.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you know what? That learning curve, it will be there. You know, we're going to get over it, but it's going to be tough. But you know, I'm excited. I'm ready to pull my hair out and cry. So
please don't. You got great hair. What do you like? So did you gain? So like, I feel like it takes a pretty big drive to be a journalist in the sense that like, you know, it's not like you're making crazy bank, at least not right out of the gate. And it's not like, I mean, it's a pretty demanding physical and mental experience. Did you pick up like a drive to be a journalist? Was it just because, you know, you were good at it and it came to you, or is it more of like a desire to like help people out? Like what kind of got you, like, you know, people stumble into things and that's how it goes. But like, is that why you stayed in journalism and what continues to drive you?
I think it's kind of a mixture of things. Like, I think that I really liked the creative part of it. I'm very creative. Like, I used to be in dance company here at USU and choreographed. So I like that I can kind of take something and make it my own. And so, like, I love like stand-ups where like you stand up, if you guys don't know, it's where you're on camera kind of reporting. I like being creating with that. Like, I remember I did a stand-up in 3 parts where it was like about social media. I was like talking on the phone, then fast forward to a computer screen, then fast forward to me. Like, I love just cool edits like that and, you know, walking in out of frame, making multiple versions of myself. I just think that's so cool. So that's initially how I got into it. I was like, oh, I love stand-ups being on camera. And then the more I went, I realized, I was like, oh, it's not really about all stand-ups. Like, you have to kind of tell a story and like stuff like that. Brian was like, hey, like stand-ups are cool, but it's like, you know, it's about telling stories. I'm like, oh. So like, I learned that in one. And then like, when I got the end of one, I was like, I really actually didn't think I would. I really actually got into like telling a story and like putting it together myself. Like, I love finding stories that like, you know, people never heard of, like maybe something like super like underground or
what was like, that fishery package you had?
I did like a story on like the Logan Fisheries Experiment Station. Like, what is that? Do you know what that is?
Not until I saw your package. So I
was
what is this?
Me neither. So it's basically they kind of, did you know that for those you don't know, you have to, in order to transfer fish to a different body of water, you have to bring them to this station to get them tested for diseases and pathogens so they don't ruin the ecosystem. You can't just bring fish to anybody water, which I didn't know this, my mind. I know. So like, yeah, I learned all the stuff. And so, yeah, so like I did a story on that, just like kind of showing the community like what's going on, or like telling a story. I really love storytelling and putting it together and like really keeping you engaged. I just think it's fun. And also, I'm very competitive, extremely competitive. You may not be able to tell.
I haven't. I mean, like, I could tell that you cared about where you were going. But
oh, no, I try to hide it, but I'm very competitive.
Oh.
And so, no shade to Lisa. We're really good friends, but I definitely say we kind of compete against each other. And so I remember I was Lisa, I'm like, oh, this girl's really good. Like, she can't beat me. I was like, I was like, she can't beat me. So it was like, we kind of just like the last two semesters been going head to head. And also, if it wasn't for her, I don't think I'd be trying as hard because I hate to lose. And so I was like, and you know what? I have nothing against Lisa. We're best friends. But it's like, for some reason, I'm like, I can't be number two. Like, that's just not a thing. And so, yeah. And like, I think we kind of had this unspoken rivalry competition. We never really talked about it, but yeah, we're really good friends, but I think both of us kind of push each other because we want to be the best. And so that's also kind of drove me as well. It's just my competitive nature.
That's, I mean, like, now that you're saying this, I could kind of, I'm piecing it together in post, but like, I definitely.
If you kind of look back, do you kind of see it now? Like,
yeah, I do a little bit. Yeah. I'm right. But like, no, that's a good thing though. Like, I mean, I could tell you were driven. I wouldn't have called it competitiveness until evaluating it.
Yeah.
But
I have a different style because like Lisa is very in your face. Like, and I'm like,
right,
I'm going to fly on the radar and.
And all of a sudden, I'm going to have this dope package.
All of a sudden, you're just going to say, wait, what? That's me. So
you snuck in there that you were a dance choreographer? What was that? You just snuck that in casually. Like, that wasn't a cool thing.
Oh, yeah. By the way, I choreographed dance. Anyway.
What?
No. No. Yeah, I got way into dance. I still do, but I don't practice right now. I used to be on the dance company. I do like hip hop dance and like choreography stuff mainly. I would like choreograph their dances and, you know, we would perform at basketball games, the Howl. I would go take classes at dance studios and stuff. And like, that's really one of my big hobbies I love to do. Just haven't had time because of school. So maybe when it finishes, I can go take some dance classes, you know. That was like kind of my backup thing. If like school doesn't work out, maybe I'll go like dance. But I realized like I'm not a bad dancer. I'm pretty good, but like you have to be like really good. Like that has to be like you have to start at like age 3 doing it nonstop. I was like, you know what? That's not realistic. So you know,
yeah, it's definitely
school. Yeah,
it's definitely like something crazy. My girlfriend's sister is into dance, and even just like the jump from high school to college of like competitive dancing and staying on top of it, and like all that stuff is like it's pretty intense. But that's super cool. I didn't know that about you. You're sneaking up on me with this.
Yeah, cool. I feel like a lot of people don't know that. Like, just because I hadn't done it so long, I was so focused on school, I honestly like forget about it. Right. I'm like, oh yeah, I need to catch up on my dance moves or like go catch up some choreography. But yeah, no, I used to dance for the dance company. We did the Howl, basketball games, tons of stuff. I was always at USU events. Oh, I am, I am USU Dancing with the Stars 2018 champion, by the way.
What?
Yeah, me and Eliza Lynn, we won. That was the last time I did Dancing with Aggie Stars. So I got a little trophy. So yeah, go look it up. We had like, it was pretty fun. Like, so basically I was like the choreographer and she was like the star. Cause you know, she was like campus wide known. I don't know if you know her. Scott Peters.
Yeah. Did they?
Are wife.
They, yeah. Okay. There you
yeah.
Go.
It's Michael Scott's wife or whatever. And she's super sweet. And like, it was lucky that she did have some dance experience in like contemporary ballet ish, but she was not hip hop. And so like for a couple. Yeah. So like we would practice, you know, and I remember like, you know, the competitive me came out. I was like, listen, we're going to win. I'm going to win this. I was like, we are not losing this. Like, I don't lose. That's not how it goes. And she's like, okay. And so, like, I remember, like, coming up to this dope choreography. I use that song. It's by Jaden Smith. It's pretty it has, like, a little snake charmer sound in the game. I forgot. And then I used that one song by Kendrick. DNA, you know that song?
Oh,
I got DNA. Yeah, so we use that song. I got like a cardboard box, like a big Gaylord. It's basically a box the size of your kitchen table. and I cut holes in it and I painted it black. And so we got in the box and we kind of put our, I put my hands in and out of the box while she would move her hands on top. And so it'd be kind of like two entities moving, and like she would go in and out and I would move. Cause we had like made a little effect. It was pretty cool. And then we got out and did a little dance, but like we went hard, and like I saw the other acts, not to be like too cocky, but I was like, we got this in the bag. I was like I'm not for real. Like they, it was like kind of like mediocre, but like no shame to them. It's a college dance competition, but like,
sure, yeah.
I came to play. I didn't come to play. And so I was like, we got this in the bag. There was maybe one act was good, but I was like, we still got this in the bag. And so, yeah, we went there and crushed it. People loved it. Like they, it was like vote. They had a vote to win. So like they cheered so loud. They're like, oh my gosh, like that was so good. And like they love it. I mean, the first time we got 3 tens and a 9, and I was happy with that. And then we had to go again for like the final round. We got all tens. So, you know, oh, we won. Yeah. High score. And so, yeah, so that's how that went. So
you clean house. I see.
Yeah, we clean house. So
that's how we do. Wow. All right. So we got dancer, dietitian, business administration,
business, psychologist
slash journalist. No, that's actually kind of funny. That's kind of a good summary of what a journalist does, right? They kind of learn a little bit about everything and they just like become really good at it, or get a good taste.
I think that's why it fits so well into this career. Like I want to know a little bit about everything. And yeah, my Gemini, I don't totally believe in horoscope, but I am a Gemini. That's kind of like one of their traits. But
are you, this is astrology, right?
Astrology. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So did you listen to Lisa's podcast?
No, I didn't listen to it. What did she talk about?
Well, all right. First of all, shame on you for.
I need to listen to it. I've been so busy
on this podcast, and now you're listening to Lisa's.
I know. I listen to it.
And then, okay, no, but she's like, she knows all about astrology. She's like, she's not like all in. Like she doesn't live her life by it, I think was the quote. But like we had like this whole conversation about how, because I'm an Aries.
Mm.
And she's like, oh wow, yeah, you just gave me a look. For those viewers at home.
No, I have a lot of Aries friends. I like Aries.
You like Aries?
I like Aries. I think we get along. My dad's an Aries.
Okay. Honestly, what do you think, Gemini?
Gemini, we're the crazy ones.
You're the crazy ones. I thought I was the crazy one. I thought I was all about violence.
Look online. All the memes are Geminis are crazy. They're two-faced. They can't make up their mind. They never stop talking. We're crazy.
Well, tell me about Gemini. Oh, also, at some point at the end of the podcast, I'm going to ask you for a hot take. Do you know what a hot take is?
I've heard of it, but I don't know what, in your definition, what is it? All right,
so it's an unpopular opinion that won't get the podcast canceled. So like an example would be like, I don't like French fries, Oreos are bad, babies are ugly, etc.
Okay. So just I'll definitely give you a hot take.
Oh, okay. I'm excited just to keep that in mind. But yeah, so like what is a Gemini? Tell me more about
a Gemini. So basically we are an air sign. So, you know, their signs are like air, fire, earth, water, I think.
What's Aries? Am I?
I think you are, I don't know. I don't know what you're, you have to, I have to look it
okay,
up.
Okay, all right, I'll look expert. Mine up while you do your
yeah, look it up. Gemini. But we're an air sign. And so, you know, we are very communicative. We're usually happy, but you know, they say that we don't have a lot of depth to us, but I disagree.
Well, of course you would disagree.
Yeah. We cannot make up our mind. I literally cannot make a decision on anything. We have two sides or two face is what they say. I've seen sometimes it's not two face as we're fake. It's like we literally have just two personalities, and it just depends who I'm with, what I'm doing. Like there's times where I want to be silly and goofy, you know, I have like a silly goofy side and like fun. And then I have like a serious, like, let's get to work side. Like there's no in between for me. Like
it's like one or the other.
It's like, yeah, like I'll be having fun. Like well, my friends, stuff like that. Or it's like, I got to get this done, you know? And so I think that's mine. Also, I kind of have an angry side. If you get me mad, I have a bad temper. So don't mess with me. Ooh. But,
careful.
Man. Yeah. It's very that. And, that's about it. For some reason, there's just tons of memes about us, about like us being crazy. And you know what? I kind of agree. I think we are a little crazy. Like we are that one sign that's like you stay away from Geminis. But I mean, since I'm a Gemini, I don't know why. but I'm sure all my friends could tell me why I'm crazy. But that's just the gist of it, you know?
Yeah, I looked it up. It belongs to FIRE.
FIRE.
The definitions for me are, I'll alternate between strengths and weaknesses. We'll go courageous, impatient, determined, moody, confident, short-tempered, enthusiastic, impulsive, optimistic, aggressive, honest, and passionate. So that's okay. Me. You just summed up me. That's not me at all.
Although I feel like some of those fit you.
It does say comfortable clothes on the next one, which
this is comfortable clothes.
Yeah, if I could wear gym shorts every day of the week, I would. So I guess it's on to me. It's figuring
I do know a lot of Aries who are impulsive. I definitely say that. Like my dad is very impulsive. But I don't know about you. Would you say you're impulsive?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I think so. So we're tracking. How so? It's a good question. So like, it's usually not on like big stuff. Like on big stuff, I try to like sit on it. But like, I'll definitely be like, if I want Chick-fil-A, like I'll just go. Like there's not, like I don't think about it. I'm not like, oh man, I have X, Y, or Z in my bank account. Or like, oh man, I should get groceries instead. It's like, nah, I'm gonna go. Like there's no, like if I want to do something, like for example, I was dating my girlfriend currently. She goes to BYU, so that's 2 hours away. Mm-hmm. Like if I, like as soon as I knew that, a newscast was probably the only thing I thought about, honestly, but like, as soon as I thought that I was good, like I'd just go. Like I'm like, all right, well, I'm gonna go visit her probably.
You don't think no ends of her butts. If it's in your head, you go.
Yeah, like it's happening. Like there's not a lot happening there. So I'll take that. The astrologists are on to me. Wait, is it astrologist? That's like a different thing.
Astrology.
Astronomy.
I guess
astrology.
Yeah, astrologist, because astronomy is space.
Right. So it'd be astronomist.
So yeah, astrologist.
Sierra, that's right.
Astrologist.
Okay, so there's an astrologist. Is that like do people? Yeah, meet
astrology, astrologist. What'd you
say? I need to have like an official astrologist rep on this podcast.
Yeah, do you have the app CoStar?
No, I don't.
See, that's the one you have to download. That's like the now like popular app. Like even if you're not into it, a lot of people have it, and it's like, it tells you a lot about your sign, and I'm trying to load it right now so I can tell you more about my sign, but it's not working. It's loading.
So you're recommending me an app that doesn't work. That's what you're telling me.
No, it really does work. It's my internet.
Okay. So is your family now in SLC?
No, my family still lives in Vegas.
Okay.
My immediate family lives in Vegas. I have family all over the place. So like I'm an only child, which is a weird thing out here in Utah. People are like, oh my gosh, you're only child. Are you spoiled? Are you crazy?
I feel like that's kind of rare. Is that not rare?
It's definitely very rare in Utah.
I would say
it's very rare in Utah, but it's really not as rare as people think. Like back home or every place I say I'm the only child, nobody even blinks an eye. Here they think I'm like this like selfish person, like crazy. I'm like, I'm sorry, my parents only had one child, like that's all we could do. But yeah, so I'm an only child. And where was I going with the only child stuff? I don't remember.
You're in SLC.
Oh, yeah. And so my parents live in Vegas, but like my extended family lives in California, Texas, Maryland, all over the country. So
you got a bed somewhere. Everywhere you go.
We've got a bed somewhere. I'm trying to get a new bed in Tennessee, so we'll see how that goes. But
hey, are you gonna get a king size? We go with queen.
I want a king because I bought a bed last year and it was a queen. I got it for $100 at Maloof because I won it in a giveaway. That will never happen again in my life. So I'm probably gonna keep my bed here and give it away because I don't really want to haul big stuff over there. So I'll probably get a king. I'll probably get a king bed, and so
dude, let's go.
In case we get a bay, they can fit in there.
Treat yourself, dude. That's the move. Yeah, 100% the move. CoStar load? We here?
It did load. Oh, okay. Here. So let's see. So my Gemini sign, there's different parts of it. There's like sun, moon, your ascendant, and like all the planets, but I'll just give you a few. So my sun, my rising sign is in Gemini. Okay. So this means that So the sun determines your ego, identity, and role in life. My sun is in Gemini, meaning I'm fundamentally dynamic, quick-witted, eclectic, and curious. I would definitely say that's true. I'm very curious and quick-witted. I'm fascinated by everything. Very true. Your childlike energy is often scattered in a million directions. On a social level, this may come off as gossipy or flaky. Yeah, that's me. I love the tea. It says it's in the seventh house, whatever that means, meaning you feel the need to distinguish yourself from others through close relationships and long-term partnerships. So that's one of the main ones. And then my moon is in Gemini. So like you have a sun, moon, and rising. They can be in all different, but my moon and sun are in Gemini. So it says the moon is your emotions, moods, and feelings. It says this is the sign that you think of yourself as, like how you feel you are. So it says, I feel that I'm extremely, my emotional self is restless and unsettled. I'm extremely adaptable, which sometimes makes you feel pulled into many directions, and I'm easily bored and need to feel like you are free to be creative and create meaning. See, I talked about that earlier, which can make you feel like you're in a constant identity crisis. And then my last ascendant is in Scorpio. See, I saw this, I was like, dang, I'm like two crazies, because Scorpios are crazy too. I'm double crazy, but it's like, it's your ascendant is what you present to people, like the mask, how you show yourself. So it says it can change honestly every 2 hours. So let's see. And this is by your birth time. So my ascendant is in Scorpio, meaning you come across as passionate, incisive, cunning, strategic, and perceptive. Your intense and tenacious drive comes off as intimidating and powerful, if not malicious or aggressive. And yeah, that sums up my specific sign in general. But yeah. Wow.
Do you like live and die by your horoscope, or are you just...
Oh, no. I really don't. I think some things are fun to follow, but like I don't live and die. Like literally the CoStar app will tell you today, it'll tell you how you're feeling. It's like, today I don't feel desired. I need to trust my capacity to give. And then it'll tell you like, stay away from sun, Aries signs, and stay away from moon, Capricorn signs today. And
tell me it says like, that. Tell me it says that right now.
No, like it will say, today doesn't have one, but most days it'll tell me one. So like one day it'll be like, learn from this friend, like one of my best friends, Alex. And then it'll be like, stay away from Lisa. It literally tell me that. It'll be like, from Lisa. It will say like, stay away from Lisa today.
Always stay away from Lisa.
Yeah. But then some days it'll be like, you can learn from Lisa and stay away from this friend. So it just depends on the day.
Interesting.
So sometimes I don't like to follow it, but like after reading that and I'll like see them, I'll be like, I think I want to stay away from you. Like, I don't know, just in case, you know.
starts getting sus.
I was like, I think you're bad vibes right now. So like, you can't be by me, but yeah.
Hey, man.
It's fun. It's fun stuff, I think, but I don't totally believe in it, I would say.
Okay. This is kind of out of left field, but did you see like the million different shows that were announced by Disney yesterday?
Oh, I did see that. It was like all these, was it the Marvel and the Star Wars kind of stuff?
Yes. Are you either or not really?
I do like Marvel stuff. I really love Marvel stuff. I'm not huge into Star Wars. I will watch it, but I'm not like a super fan like some people are, but yeah. I love Marvel stuff. Like I'm excited for like the WandaVision. I love.
Really?
I love Scarlet Witch. She's my favorite. She's the strongest.
Yeah, she's crazy.
She's bad. She's bad.
She almost destroys Thanos. There's like
that's a, what I'm saying. Like, people, she's so underrated.
Doesn't she like? Because he calls for he just calls for bombs. Like he doesn't even.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He's just like, yo, destroy him.
Yeah, if he didn't call that, he'd have been dead. She could kill Thanos with a snap. But like nobody knows that.
Underrated for sure.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. And I saw they were gonna make a Black Panther 2. I don't know how they're gonna do that. I mean, like I'm excited to see.
I think it's
I'm
the kind sister. Of worried. I think it's a sister.
That
makes sense. That. I think that might be like the Twitter rumor that everybody wanted, but I'm pretty sure.
Where did you hear that?
I don't know. I could not well sourced. Like this is your media smarts kicking in, dude. I love it. Wow, this is full circle on the pod. I love it.
See, I told you. Look, I got a fact check.
What's your source? There you go.
What's your source, Josh? No. If it is, though, I think that'd be really cool. It's just so sad, though, he died. I was really disappointed.
Yeah, it was really sad. And it was really sad. I didn't realize he was sick for so long.
Nobody knew he was sick. And, like, he was getting skinnier and skinnier, but, like, nobody really saw. And so it's just sad because I feel like he was, like, kind of the first mainstream black superhero in the Marvel Universe, which is, like, pretty big deal culturally.
Yeah.
For us, so like we were like really proud of it, and like, but I think he did the role well, but it was pretty sad.
Okay, wait. Breaking news on the podcast. This is actually breaking. This was
what's going
Thursday,
on?
December 10th. This is just about Black Panther. Don't worry. But the legacy of Black Panther will continue on, but not with someone new in the iconic role.
Oh,
it will not recast the character played by Chadwick Boseman.
Really? I wonder how they're going to do that.
Whoa, wait. So what is this saying? However, to honor the legacy that he built, we want to continue. So, okay. What I said could still be true. They're just saying that they're not going to recast him, is what that means.
Okay. I kind of like that.
Have like a new T'Challa. They're going to gotcha.
They'll like, probably still go off the same storyline. I'm wondering if they're going to use, like, if they had already started filming.
That's a good question. I don't think they had. I know that a lot of production was going to happen this past like summer and spring. All got screwed over by COVID. So
I'm so interested how they're going to do that.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Without the main character.
So would you say that WandaVision is the show you're looking forward to most?
I want
to
see that show. Black Panther 2. What else was on there? I'm trying to
remember. There was Miss Marvel. There was Fantastic Four.
That was cool. Which was
hilarious.
Oh, I love Captain Marvel. They're making another one of that.
Yeah, so Miss Marvel will be in that one, apparently.
Oh, is that her too? Is that the same thing?
Yeah.
Let's see. Let's pull up. Can you pull up the list of the movies?
I'm doing it. I'm pulling it up.
All right.
Let me hit you. There's a Twitter picture that summarizes a lot better than I think this article is going to. Let's find out. Okay, here we go. So we got WandaVision, Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Okay.
Loki.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Hawkeye will be a series, not a movie. What If? I don't know what that is. It's an animated thing. And they're gonna make this movie called Ironheart, which is gonna be sweet. That's like it's this girl who makes her own like Iron Man suit. That looks pretty cool.
Oh, she's like not related to it, but she still makes a suit.
Yeah, she's just like her own person. Should be a She-Hulk in there.
I did see that. That's interesting.
How do we feel about She-Hulk? Are we in?
I don't know. I think I'll have to see it because as much as I love like switching up the gender and stuff, like I really do like gender equality.
Yeah.
But it may not work just because it is the Hulk and it just depends who they cast, I think.
Yeah.
It's got to be the casting.
Have you seen any of the Hulk movies? Like
I've seen the Hulk movies, yeah.
Really?
I'm not super into Hulk, but you know, I've seen him. So I'm interested to see like who is gonna be the She-Hulk and how she's gonna look. Like she's gonna be like super buff with blonde hair. Like how is this gonna look? I don't know.
So. I think I did see that because like the story from the comic books is that she's a lawyer. So there's that.
Oh.
So whatever that's worth. But okay, all right. Eric Price.
Yes.
Do you have a hot take ready? Do you need more time? Do I need to float?
I have a hot take ready.
Oh, he's ready. Okay, all right.
I had it ready once you said it.
You have the floor.
All right. A lot of people are not going to be happy with this, but I think Taylor Swift is overrated.
Oh!
I've said it.
Relevancy. Oh, baby.
I've said it. She is overrated. This is coming from a Beyonce stan, though, so you have to understand. I worship and live by Beyonce. And my friend's fiance is here looking at me crazy right now because I said Taylor Swift is overrated. She's very offended. White girls are dropping their spice lattes. The spice lattes, they've hit the ground. Yes, I said it. Taylor Swift is overrated. Because you know why? She does mediocre stuff. She can't dance. And I get it. She can't dance. She cannot perform. I think she has good lyrics, but I think she doesn't know. Here's the thing. I actually think she's not a bad artist. I just think she's overrated. How about that? She's not bad. I think she's talented in some areas, but I think she's just way overhyped. Like she's just so mediocre.
I 100% agree with you. So, okay, here's the deal.
To me.
I think you're right. What I think is funny is like, I feel like the middle opinions often get like more heat than like the hard. Like if you had said like she sucks and she's the worst, I feel like that gets less heat than when you're like oh, she's just kind of overrated. You know what I mean? Like, if yeah. you say, like the middle opinions get roasted harder. Okay, so yeah. I agree with you 100%. She has this song where that like was the first red flag for me, where I think she's like, my exes will tell you I'm crazy. And like, mm-hmm. that's like a part of the chorus. And I'm like,
yeah.
okay, that's not a great sign. Like, you're saying that like as a flex, but like, if all of your exes will say that you're crazy, then you probably just are crazy.
You're probably just crazy. Like, she was trying to be creative with it, but it just wasn't.
Right. And then like, that I actually was talking, who was I talking to about this? Was it on the other podcast? I think there's another podcast that was talking about this, but the Kanye incident was like just ridiculous. Like, that was not a good look.
It wasn't a good look, and I do not think Kanye should have done that, but at the same time, I think he was right.
Well, I mean, like, he asked for permission. She like yeah. flips out as if he didn't, and then he just leaks the video. It's like, well, like, look, like, what do you want? Like, you asked.
Yeah.
Granted, that song is ridiculous. Like, I'm not trying to defend like the lyrics.
Which song was it again?
I made that famous.
Oh, that, yeah, that's ridiculous. I mean, I used to like old Conway, but like, I can't hang with Kanye anymore. He's crazy. He's too crazy now.
Too crazy for you?
He's a little crazy.
He's definitely an artiste. He's got his own alley.
He definitely is, yes.
So Taylor Swift, overrated.
I think she's overrated. I just think, like, here's the thing. I prefer country Taylor Swift when she first started.
I don't think I've met somebody who doesn't. Everybody loves country.
Liked country Taylor Swift, and I don't like country music, so that's big.
Yeah, and that's true for me too.
I was like, that really fit her. I think she really did well. And like, she would start to switch her genre. I didn't have a big deal. I think what really turned me off was the Reputation era. I was like, no, girl, no.
Yeah, I don't get when somebody tries to control like their image. That's a weird red flag for
me. It's like, because you can reinvent yourself and make new things, but like, she's just trying to change her whole image. Like, she's doing this thing. Her studio is probably saying like, try this, try that. And it's not working. Like, yeah. What's that song? How does that song go? I know what you did, or something. I don't know. It's something stupid. Like, it says the same thing over. It's like supposed to be a diss track for Kim Kardashian, but it's like so weak, and it says the same thing. The beat sucks. It's just so cheesy, and I can't deal with her. And like, I think like these new albums, Folklore and the other one that came out, is like more her. I like better, but they just
very sad, both of them.
Yeah, they just don't do it for me. She just doesn't do it for me. And that's me, you know.
I feel that on a spiritual level. I really, that resonated. The other thing that I'd say was, like, talking about image, like, that's actually one of the reasons I don't love Billie Eilish's music, but I kind of love Billie Eilish because she's just so FU. She's like, I'm gonna just do this my way. And that's like, I love that. I'm like, oh, this is just who she is. Whereas like with Taylor, I never know. I'm always like,
yeah, I like, it just doesn't feel real, like genuine.
Right.
And only when she does like, I think this Folklore stuff feels more genuine, but like that Reputation stuff, or like when she would try, it just, you can tell it's so forced, you know?
Yeah.
And I love Billie Eilish. I actually prefer her early stuff. And her music videos are really cool. Have you seen any of her like first ones?
Probably, I'm not sure.
You have to look it up. Like, she has one where she drinks this like glass of ink and then it runs out her eyes.
Gross.
It's gross, but it's really cool. And there's another one where like the walls are like moving and pushing her around. Like, her early stuff is really good. Her new stuff is okay. I think she, you know, what happens when you get a studio behind you. But I do love Billie.
Dang. So Billie Eilish is a yay, and Taylor Swift a nay.
Yes, and Beyonce is a shay. I don't know how you say that. She's a queen.
100. She's queen.
Yeah. And Doja Cat too. Doja Cat. I love Doja Cat.
What do they call Beyonce fans? What are they called again? They're like,
oh, Beyhive, the Beehive.
The Beyhive. Oh,
Beyhive. Man. Yeah.
Are you like a ranking member in the Beyhive?
I'm a ranking member. I have a. If you go on my Facebook, my background picture is me and Beyonce next to each other, but my face is photoshopped onto Jay-Z's, and it looks really real. My friend's really good at Photoshop. You have to check it out. And then I made a mural with printer paper. I printed it out and taped it together and put it in my room. It's pretty ghetto, but yeah, I love Beyonce. I worship everything Beyonce. She is queen.
Amen. On that note, we're gonna tidy up. Eric Price, we did it. We made it. You made it an hour. You made the podcast. Wow. For Eric Price, this is Josh Davis. This has been the Turnaround J podcast.